You, Jesus. Okay. All right. This is Sunday morning, August 19, 2018. You know what? If I did what I felt like, I wouldn't have got out of bed this morning. You know? But you know what? We don't walk by how we feel. Never. Ever. Sometimes I think, Lord, how much harder? Sometimes, how much harder? The Lord always says, my grace is sufficient. If you call on me, my grace is always sufficient. So we can always know that whatever's coming against us, that He will not ever allow anything on us that we can't bear, He says. So that is good news today, that the weapons may be formed, but they're not armed against us today. If you look around the world and what you're hearing out of the world, you hear they're winning and we're losing. But the Lord has said just the opposite. Avalanche, D5 is coming. The weapons are formed, but they are not armed. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, this is, greater is He that's in us. We have to always be looking at the inside, whatever we face in life, because you're not going to ever do it, just like the song we sang. It's only by grace do you enter. Only by grace do you stand. It's not by human endeavors. It's by God's grace. That's the only way that we can make it. We can do it. And we can do it. He says we can. He says we're more than conquerors. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So that's where we stand today. So we don't have to come in feeling like we're at a funeral. We can come in and say, I'm truly thankful today because I live and walk by the good news. The gospel's good news. It's not so hard that you can't stand it. I'm here to tell you, you can stand it. I've done TV shoots when, if there had been a doctor there, he said, you need to be in the hospital. I'm telling you. I've gotten and I just did it anyway. By faith, I did it anyway. Did God bring me through? Absolutely. See, we don't go by how we feel. One has nothing to do with the other. There's no emotions. Now, there's love, joy, peace, you know. But as far as how we don't walk by our emotions. What's happening to us? What it looks like. So the Lord wants you to be encouraged today. He's with you. It's kind of like the serenity prayer. Is it the serenity prayer? The one where you're wondering where the Lord is and there's only one set of footsteps and He's telling you, it's because I'm carrying you. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He lives right on the inside of us. We take Him wherever we go. Okay, we're going to get into part two this morning of boundaries. Boundaries. That's what I love about God. He's a God of boundaries. What do? Boundaries keep us safe. Boundaries keep us free from being violated. This is how God, as we looked at last week, we looked in Genesis, how God made everything perfect. He separated the waters from the land. He set boundaries. He even made your body to where your body parts function separately as their own little unity, yet they're one body. And the body of Christ is the same way. So God has placed boundaries around us. He has made the earth like a baby in the womb. And a baby in the womb, think about that, how this little baby is all encased in water and cushion from any kind of external outside violation of any kind. Now we know what abortion does. It completely violates boundaries that God has set in place. And there's a lot of other things in the earth that are happening that violate God's boundaries. This is His ordained way is boundaries. And the devil is hell-bent, hell-sent, on violating God's boundaries. You could take this to a international level, down to a very personal level. Boundaries. These are God-ordained boundaries. Now you know why people in the left that used to say, yes, they wanted boundaries, they wanted the border to be controlled, but now they've gotten on Satan's train. Now they're saying, no, we want borders open so anything and everything can come in and just kill you and do anything they want to you. There's people in California, you know, they're wanting to get away from these wicked people in California because they've got these people trampling on their front lawns. You know, it may not be a big deal to us. We live pretty close to the border, though. It affects us pretty closely. But not to the point they're walking across our yard that we know of. Well, maybe they could be. I don't know. But God has set boundaries in place. If you think about Israel, you think about the New Jerusalem. It has gates, 12 gates. Jesus is going to come through the eastern gate. So God has fixed boundaries in heaven and on earth. There's going to be gates in heaven. And it says those that are not born again won't enter the gates into the city. They won't. He'll rule with a rod of iron. This is why people oppose our president. He wants to restore law and order and fix our boundaries, keep the American people safe. This is God's agenda, God's plan. You know, if I could have something to say to these people that are fighting so hard against him, I'd want to say, don't you understand? You're fighting against God. They know they are because they're Luciferians and they think that they are so proud that when Jesus does break that firmament and finally comes through, they're defiantly going to think that they will overthrow him. There'll be a lot of people with them that are going to think the same thing. They're going to just do what they want to, and the Lord's going to say, oh no, you're not going to do a thing. Okay, Genesis 6. This is boundaries part 2, a world out of order. Rebellion violates boundaries. Who's the rebellious one? Satan. He was the one that started it all. He came against God in his throne. What happened? God kicked him out. That's the way we have to be, and we shouldn't feel bad about it. Natural, spiritual, if somebody's violating your boundaries, you are graced to kick them out. We have this, you ever get in a grocery store line and there's, I notice Asians are real bad about this. It's because they where they live, there's so many of them, they don't have a consciousness of space. But you ever get somebody up so close to you, you just want to turn around and say, would you please just give me a little space? Would you back up just a little bit? See, those are those boundaries right there. Like, you're close enough, don't you come any closer. Okay, Genesis 6. When men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair and they took wives of all they desired and chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not forever dwell and strive with man, for he also is flesh, but his days shall yet be 120 years. Well, these are jubilees that they're talking about here. It's not man's chronological age. God is giving, and he set it down in Genesis, six-day week. 6,000 years is 120 jubilees. So God has said, I'm already to the point that he was fed up with striving with man. Because what happened? Angels, fallen angels, they came and began to entice earth women. They totally violated the boundaries. They stepped where angels were not allowed to go. So they had violated God's boundaries. And with that, a lot of other stuff started going on. They developed what you call hybrids. This is what a hybrid is. The offspring of two plants or animals of different species or varieties, such as a mule, a hybrid of a donkey. I didn't know a mule was a hybrid. Or it's between a donkey and a horse, makes a mule, a crossbreed. We're going to probably look as we get into this teaching in the Old Testament where God said, don't sow mingled seed. Don't even put different kinds of fabrics together, linen and wool. Don't put them together. Well, now we have all these blends. And we wonder why people are having trouble with them, wearing them. They're violating God's boundaries that he has set down. All right, angelic, they're angelic mixed with human. All right, let's keep going. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God lived with the daughters of men and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now over in Nahum, it talks about 1:9, affliction shall not rise up a second time. And in context, I believe that's speaking about the Nephilim, which are the giants, would not resurrect. They were not born of God. They were not God's ordained way of producing between a man and a woman. So God did not recognize them. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved at heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy, blot out, and wipe away mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, not only man, but the beast and the creeping things and the birds of the air, for it grieves me and makes me regretful that I have made them. So he saw that everything that he had placed in the world at that time, it was good, but man polluted it. Man disobeyed God's word. And when you disobey God's word, you step over a boundary that was meant for you to stay behind for your own protection. So people don't understand. They just think, well, we can just do what we need to do. But no, God puts these boundaries around us so that we will be protected and not violated. Okay. This is also a hybrid, a thing made by combining two different elements, a mixture, a combination of mixed parts. Some teach there was even transhumanism going on at that time. This is what transhumanism is. The belief or theory that the human race can evolve beyond its current physical and mental limitations, especially by means of science and technology like artificial intelligence. In fact, I don't even know who I heard it from, but I think it's true that the elites have this demented idea that they will transcend their natural bodies after they kill all of us off and live in their underground cities. They will live in a robot-type body that's superhuman. So that's what they're thinking. That's what this transhumanism is. They think they're going to best God and they're going to have eternal life, but they're going to do it Satan's way, not God's way. See, artificial intelligence merging with humans. They did some experiments, and they still do, on people that are like paralyzed, trying to control the nerves and stuff to get parts of their body to move by artificial intelligence. Yeah. I think that'd be dangerous. God forbid it. He set boundaries for a man not to cross. Okay, let's look at Leviticus chapter 19. I mean, the Jews went into exile for 70 years because they did not let the ground rest. I think it was a year. Every 7 years, they had to let it rest a year, and they didn't do it for like, I don't know how many years they didn't do it, but they went into exile those years because they did not obey God's word. Okay, Leviticus 19:19. You think he doesn't care? He's very strict about his statutes being kept. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your domestic animals breed with a different kind of animal. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, neither wear a garment of linen mixed with wool. Then it goes on to say, a man shall not lie carnally with a woman who is a slave, betrothed to a husband, and not yet ransomed to give her freedom. They shall be punished after investigation. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. So what happened? Adultery, fornication, crosses a boundary. that God set in His Word. That's why He says that sexual sin comes up a little higher grade than any other sin, because it's a sin against your own body. You're violating your own body when you do it. Whether it be homosexuality, transgender, pedophilia, fornication, adultery, it violates God's boundaries. What does God put those boundaries there for? To protect us. I mean, even naturally, they'll say if you have a relationship with one person and you don't venture out, you don't need to be concerned about diseases. What happens when you just sleep around? Well, you sleep around with everything they've slept around with. That's what you're doing. And you're inviting all kinds of things in. God puts these boundaries in place for a reason. They are ordained by God. What did God do? Okay, go back to Genesis. Please, Kleenex, please. Thank you. All right, Genesis 6:8. But Noah found grace, favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the history of the generations of Noah. Noah was a just and righteous man, blameless in his evil generation. Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God, and Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was deprived and putrid in God's sight, and the land was filled with violence, desecration, infringement, outrage, assault, and lust for power. And God looked upon the world and saw how degenerate, debased, and vicious it was, for all humanity had corrupted their way upon the earth and lost their true direction. God said to Noah, I intend to make an end of all flesh, for through men the land is filled with violence, and behold, I will destroy them and the land. Make yourself an ark of gopher or cypress wood. Make in it rooms, stalls, pens, coops, nests, cages, and compartments. He put them in cages, boundaries. And cover it inside and out with pitch bitumen. And this is the way you are to make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a roof or window for the ark and finish it to a cubic. Above in the door of the ark you shall put in the side of it, and you shall make it with lower, second, and third stories. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy and make putrid all flesh under the heavens, in which are the breath and spirit of life. Everything that is on the land shall die. But I will establish my covenant, promise, pledge with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. There shall be male and female. Of fowls and birds according to their kinds, of beasts according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, too, of every sort shall come with you that they may be kept alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten, and you shall collect and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. And Noah did this. He did all that God had commanded him. Okay, let's keep going here. And the Lord said to Noah, come with all your household into the ark, for I have seen you to be righteous, upright, and right standing before me in this generation. Of every clean beast shall receive and take with you seven pairs, the male and his mate, and the beasts that are not clean, a pair of each kind, the male and his female. That was so that they had sacrifices, okay. Also the birds of the air, seven pairs, the male and the female, to keep seed alive over all the earth or land. For in 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance and thing that I have made I will destroy, blot out, and wipe away from the face of the earth. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came upon the earth, or land, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and fowls and of everything that creeps on the ground. There went in two and two with Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the flood waters came upon the earth, or land, in the year 600 of Noah's life. In the 17th day of the second month, that same day, all the fountains of the deep were broken open and burst forth, and the windows and floodgates of the heavens were open. Okay, I don't know if I read the part. I'm looking for the part where he shut Noah in. Let's keep going. Okay, and it rained upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Shem, Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his son with them went into the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, all the livestock according to their kinds, every moving thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every fowl according to its kind, every winged thing of every sort. And they went into the ark with Noah and two by two for all flesh, in which there were the breath and spirit of life. And they that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God has commanded Noah, and the Lord shut him in and closed the door round about him. So, God shut him in. They were in a fixed barrier from the destruction that came upon the earth because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah, it said he was in habitual fellowship with God. So he was able to bypass, take him to a place, a fixed place. God shut him into that box with them animals until it was all over. A place of safety. Boundaries keep us safe. God's word puts boundaries of safety around our lives. Psalms 91 is a prime example. Let's read that. This is a psalm I read usually every day. It's a psalm of protection. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. What is a fort? It's a place that's walled and has nobody can penetrate. He's my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I trust. For He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with His pinions, and under His wings shall I trust and find refuge. Those are His angels. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the mainstream media and all their lies that fly, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction of sudden death that surprisingly wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. The ark represents the word of God. You know that, right? Build yourself an ark. Many years ago, the Lord gave me that, and I taught it. And then Gloria Copeland came out with a book, Build Yourself an Ark. Only a spectator shall you be as you witness the reward of the wicked. See, we're going to be safe. We'll observe what's going on with the wicked. We can cry out for mercy for them, but it won't come near us. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he knows and understands my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Okay. Boundaries bring peace and security. MAGA. Make America great again. Build that wall. You know, Trump goes around the country, especially before elections, you know, to kind of rally the troops. And he talks about making America great again. And anytime, you know, usually once or twice during the time that he's speaking, with usually around an hour, they start going, build that wall, build that wall, build that wall. Yeah. Well, you know what? Whether that wall ever gets built, we can have a wall of protection around us. Boundaries prevent us from being violated. Let's look at violated. This is Ezekiel 22. Let me find it here. There you are. Ezekiel 22:26. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the sacred and the secular, neither have they taught people the difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes for my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst of her are like wolves, rending and devouring the prey, shedding blood and destroying lives to get dishonest gain. Sounds like today, doesn't it? And their prophets have dabbed them over with whitewash. In other words, people in the church are not saying anything. They're just scared. Seeing false visions and dividing lies to them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and extortion and have committed robbery. Yes, they have wronged and vexed the poor and needy. Yes, they have oppressed the stranger and temporary resident wrongfully. And I sought a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I repaid upon their heads, says the Lord God. So thank God we have received a reprieve, because people have been standing up and they are praying and they're changing things. And in Ezekiel's day, they didn't. He couldn't find anybody to stand in the gap. Okay, violate means to be violent. Violent. In the days of Noah, that violence was really bad. Well, we live in a very violent world today. Think about the flat earth like a baby in the womb. Consider abortion a total violation of something sacred. A child violently murdered in the womb. It was meant to be a place of safety. God set boundaries around the unborn to protect it until birth. All right, Isaiah 44. Oh, these little tabs. Don't buy little tabs. There it is. Isaiah 44:2. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you? Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, the upright one, applied to Israel as a type of the Messiah whom I have chosen. He has formed us in the womb. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you in the womb. Formed means to mold, fashion, frame, or determine. Man can't seem to leave alone what God has set in place. Satan is trying to tear down God's protective boundaries. See, if he can do that, then we're sitting in Genesis 6. We're close. We've been close for a while now. We see Genesis 6 going on today. Matthew 24, Jesus talked about this time. 24:37. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For just as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, being given in marriage, until the day Noah went into the ark, and they did not know or understand until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So people are just going about their business, clueless. On television this week, the Lord had me speak. This week they've had some major things happen with the 301 priest being indicted in Pennsylvania and I forget where else, of child trafficking and really pedophile. They've got people that have come forward, you know, that have been abused. Some of them are men in their 50s and 60s that were abused way back when they were in Catholic school by these priests. And the church has protected them. The Pope hasn't even made any statements concerning it. He's about ready to be indicted himself. But you see all of this kind of stuff. It's like in the days of Noah. The Lord's bringing all of it to light and people are seeing everything. It's going to shock a lot of people. You know, Danny had a word about a mass exodus out of the Catholic Church. We're going to have to be the ones. Now, I have a dear friend. Her ministry is based, it was started by a Catholic, and they, there's many of them. Most of them are funded and helped with by the Knights, or the, not the Knights of Malta, but there's another group, the Knights of Columbus or something like that. And, you know, the Catholic Church is all mixed into it, and she's met a lot of really precious Catholic people. And so the Lord had me teaching that on television. I just admonished the Catholics not to be offended by this, but to make sure they're born again. Make sure that you're not just doing by what they say, because you cannot follow that person unless they're following Christ. No matter what they say or what they do, don't be disillusioned by what they do. Christ is the one you're following in a leader. And I said, Lord, why are you having me bring this stuff? I don't want to bring this stuff. I just don't feel like I can bring this stuff anymore. And he said, how are they going to know if you don't? How will they ever be red-pilled and come to know the knowledge of the truth if someone doesn't tell them? So this is supposed to be a faith program. Well, it's whatever he says it is, whatever he wants me to do, whatever he says he wants me to do. But I just never thought that I would ever be going that direction. But, you know, we're the Lord's. And we're here to set people free from the strongholds of their minds. And if you can get people off of religions, dogmas, doctrines, things in churches, and get them thinking about the Word of God and what does the Word of God really say, the next new series I'm going to bring is called Full Disclosure, and I'm going to start getting into flat earth. I said, doesn't matter. I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to do what he's telling me to do. Some people, they just won't hear it any other place. I have a voice. It's on television. There are people that listen. So if you have a voice, you need to use your voice for the glory of God. Because do we think we're going to sit by with all this happening and not do anything? You know, we had a free country because men and women laid down their lives, and there's people being killed. There was a policewoman, a young man of about 26 or 27, came to this woman. She was, from what I understand, she'd worked with McCabe and Comey and different ones, and she was slighted because she would not be dirty, and she didn't get promotions like they did because she would not do wrong. This young man reached out to her and came to her. And they were fixing to air this story. And they find her dead in the hotel room. She's a true hero. She's a warrior that put herself, they said she was fierce. She was not intimidated by anything. She was scared for the young man's sake, was trying to protect him from them taking him out. Because he is naming some big names. One of our ex-presidents. So you think, these people are the meanest, the nastiest that have ever walked this earth. They can't be any nastier than Noah's day. I mean, they are as nasty as Noah's day. But who are we? We're a voice that can speak when it needs to be spoken. Okay. We have to be led by the Spirit in it, but we can't be silent while others are dying around us. You know, I heard someone say this, and it's so true. The young children of today, or the children of today, know nothing about wars. They know nothing about people that bled and died, like in World War II and Vietnam. They know nothing about this kind of thing. All they have on them is this entitlement. You owe me, you owe me, you owe me. They know nothing about sacrificing your love for somebody else or sacrificing your blood for somebody else. You know, we need to be to the place that we would rather have the garbage on the air than to have them censor. That's what free speech is. You have the right to say your nastiness. I don't have to listen to it. But at least you have a right to say it. And we need to pray that. You can't say, well, the good ones get the free speech and the bad ones don't, or vice versa. Now, the left is trying to do that to the right now. They're trying to censor our speech. They're actively right now trying to take down websites and different people that have lots of followers. I heard a lady that was a lesbian say this. She said, I would rather take the abuse and have people trash me and treat me horrible and let them, but to let them have their free right to speak than to take it away. And I thought, she has the right attitude. Now she's messed up in her mind, but she has the right attitude. Okay. All right, go over to Genesis 2. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there, he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight or to be desired for food, the tree of life also in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and there and from there it divided and became four heads. The first name is Pishon. It is the one flowing around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is of high quality, bdellium and onyx stone are there. The second river is named Gihon. It is the one flowing around the whole land of Cush. The third river is named Hiddekel. It is the one flowing east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So what happened? God made a garden, put the man in the garden, and said, okay, he fixed some boundaries. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast and living creature of the field and every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was its name. So God made the creatures different from man. We see in our culture today, it says over in the epistles that the creature has become greater than the creator. That's how the world looks at it. They care more for a whale than they do a human baby. They worship nature. It takes precedence over God. But God didn't make it so. All right, let's look some more. Deuteronomy. This is 32:18. All of this is just laying a foundation. 32:18. It says, of the rock who bore you, you were unmindful. You forgot the God who travailed in your birth. I never thought about it, that whenever a woman goes in labor, God is travailing. It's one of his children. Okay, let's look at just a few Psalms just a minute. Psalms 90, verse 2. We read a while ago, but we'll read it again. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I trust. Psalms 90. Oh, I'm sorry, it's 92, not 91:2. But that was a good one. All right. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, you had formed and given birth to the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So the Lord spoke to me that day about, I made the earth like a baby in the womb. And I'm just running across these scriptures that just is really saying the same thing. He gave birth. What does faith do? It gives birth. Faith God. We're made in his image and likeness. We're faith people. Okay, 94:9. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He made it all. 95:5. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. This is the way I see a baby being formed in the womb. One time I had a friend of mine give me a word from the Lord, and she said, I can see God, and he's working on this beautiful tapestry, but all you see are the strings and the yuck on the back side of it. She said, that's you. But the part where God's doing, it's beautiful. When you frame it, you'll never see all the ugly strings and things in the back. And this is how God makes a baby. Like he's sewing, you know, blue eyes, you know, blonde hair. Like a tapestry. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil communications corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and characters. Am I at the right place? Yep. Awaken to sober sense in your right minds and sin no more, for some of you have not the knowledge of God. A lot of you. I say this to your shame. But someone will say, how can the dead be raised? With what body will they come forth? You foolish men. Every time you plant a seed, you sow something that does not come to life unless it dies first. Nor is the seed you sown then the body which is it is going to have, but it is a naked kernel, perhaps of wheat or some of the rest of the grains. See, everything produces after its kind. These are boundaries, boundaries. But God gives to it the body that he plans and sees fit, and to each kind of seed a body of its own. Can you see how these people, by saying, well, no, God made a mistake. For all flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of humans, another for beasts, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the beauty and the glory of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, while the beauty and glory of the earthly bodies is a different kind. The sun is glorious in one way, the moon is glorious in another way, and the stars are glorious in their own way. For one star differs from and surpasses another in its beauty and brilliance. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. That is sown, the body that is sown is perishable and decays, but the body that is resurrected is imperishable, immune to decay, and immortal. So he's saying here, you know, he's sown. He's made all things the way they are to be intact the way they are for his intended purpose. And you can take that from the as far as you want it. It reaches into every avenue. Okay, Exodus 22:19. Whoever lies carnally with a beast shall surely be put to death. This is called bestiality. I remember Ben Carson in 2015 after Obama did what he did. Ben Carson made a statement that he said it would lead to bestiality. Yeah. It's like it opened a Pandora's box for sure. Okay, boundaries. We're talking boundaries. Countries, states, counties, cities, communities, residences, by divine design, we gravitate to this. Corporately and privately, where would we be without them? Chaos. A state of utter confusion. That's why things are such a mess in our world today, is those who want to violate. We can no longer look at Democrats, and we can no longer look at, well, the snowflakes and the rhinos, that's the Democrats and the old Republicans. They're encouraging people, don't vote for an old Republican. They're just as bad as a Democrat. So we've got to be praying and looking at new people that are running, especially where we're responsible, where we have to give the responsible vote. What do they stand for? Are they new blood? Are they catching the Patriot movement? And are they trying to make America great again, or are they opposing? You can't go by Democrat, Republican. I know the Lord told me, don't vote Democrat, Republican anymore. There was one man that did a lot of good. He exposed some of this sex trafficking deal, but he's a Democrat, but he's actually a Libertarian. But he got in on the Democratic ticket. Well, Donald Trump was not a Republican. But he had to go with the party that best stood with what he believed and what he knew he was supposed to do. You know, I know the Lord spoke to me about the Unity Party, calling forth the Unity Party, calling people out of the Democratic Party that had some goodness about them, that would do the right thing. Same way with the Republicans. Right now, some of the Republicans, like Brennan, they're worse than a whole slew of Democrats. He's a traitor, through and through. So, you know, we've got these kind of people. These are those rhinos, the one no-name, McCain, that they say can't say his name because he's an absolute traitor. So there's a lot of those. So they need to be gone too. They need to be out. Okay. All right. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. They have a woman that's a socialist, and the Democratic Party has kind of picked up a new mantle. And she was endorsing all these people, and I think she didn't win anybody she endorsed, and President Trump has won 8 out of the 9 he's endorsed. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 14:33. That blue wave I saw the other day, it was a picture of this ink stain on the cement. Here's the blue wave. They're waiting for the blue wave. It's not coming. It's not coming. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:33. For he is not a man of confusion and disorder, but of peace and order, as in all the churches of the saints. God is a God of order, not a God of disorder. Okay, James chapter 3. Verse 16. For wherever there is jealousy and contention, there will also be confusion and all sorts of evil and vile practices. The wisdom from above is first of all pure, then it is peace, loving, courteous. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned. So God wants peace. The wisdom of God brings peace. It clears up the confusion. Boundaries promote peace. Boundaries between countries, between states, between cities, between residences, between individuals. There's a proverb that talks about, don't let your neighbor be in your house too often unless you hate him. Yeah. God is the God of free will. God's word are the boundaries in our lives that keep us from being like the world. A violation of a boundary is called an infringement. This is what it means to infringe. To encroach upon in a way that violates law or the rights of another. See, this is what makes shows in our world why these things are wrong, is they want to force us into submission. Christians, we're reconcilers, so it is a invitation. But you have the freedom to be just as depraved and awful as you'd like to be. It's your right. As Christians living in a world that is trying to control us, Satan's crew, we must learn to keep our perimeters around our life. How does your physical body respond to violators? It resists it. Like if something happens in a part of your body, your whole body runs to the aid of that part of the body to assist the body. Okay, it resists and defends itself against infringement. Paul talked about the body of Christ and its boundaries. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for good and profit. To one is given in and through the Spirit, a message of wisdom unto another, a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the extraordinary power of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophetic insight, to another the ability to discern and distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the ability to interpret tongues. All are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each person individually as he chooses. For just as the body is a unity and yet has many parts, and all the parts, though many, form one body, so it is with Christ, the Anointed One. So he's talking about how in the body of Christ we can be in the same body and have different functions. All right, 14. For the body does not consist of one limb or organ, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, would it be therefore not of the body? If the eye should say, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body, would it be therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the smell? But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body, each of them just as he wished and saw fit, and with its best adaptation. So, we all have bodies that are full of organs that operate independently of each other, but we're all one body. And the body of Christ is the same. That's why we can't look at others in the body of Christ and gauge our own ministries and what we ought to do by what they do. He may never tell you to do what they do. You may be an eye, and you can only do what the eye says do, or God ordained the eye to do. I remember Keith Moore, it was hysterical. He was teaching on this very thing. He said, you may want to be a toe, but you're a hand. So you go join a toe club, and you try to get all the toe paraphernalia, but you just never fit in. Or say you're a toe, and you want to be a hand. You go and buy all the gloves and all the things that go on the hand, but you just never, but you're still a toe. You will never be the hand. That's why we can't compare ourselves with others. We can't look at another prophet and say, oh, I can't, and say, well, if I don't do all the things that they do, then I'm not. No, he's made us all different. Okay. If the ear should say, 16, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body, would it be therefore not of the body? God gives us each something different to do. And now there are limbs and organs by a single body, and the eye is not able to say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So we don't have to listen to somebody telling us, you ain't nothing and you ain't never going to be nothing because you don't do it our way. You can say, well, I'm doing it Father's way. I don't need you to tell me what I need to do. The Lord's already instructed me. I'm a toe, and I'm going to do what a toe does. No, but he's talking about considering the body in all the different parts and giving them honor, even if they're the unseemly parts, it says. This is the way God sets it up. We all are inbound. We're like in boundaries around us to do what we're called to do. Okay, boundaries and their graces. See, if you're a toe, you've got toe grace. All right, and it's to be respected. Okay? If you respect, you won't violate. You won't infringe on somebody else. Another thing that Keith Moore said that was good, he said, if an elder comes into my congregation, I will defer to him. Even if what he says I don't like, I will not rebuke him. He said, I will show honor and I'll show respect. I thought, well, that's good. You know? All right? If we're walking and we have our own boundaries, then we won't violate anybody else's. We'll respect them and their boundaries. Okay, what is a boundary? Something that indicates or fixes a limit or an extent, like the firmament. Genesis 1 talks about the firmament. It was enclosed. He separated the waters from the waters. The boundary of the land and the boundary of the waters. The water didn't come on the land, and the land didn't come on the water. Okay, Genesis 11. This may seem pretty simple today, but it's the Word. 11, chapter 11, verse 1. The whole earth was of one language and one accent and mode of expression. As they journeyed eastward, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled and dwelt there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." So they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top reaches into the sky, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." The Lord scattered them abroad from that place upon the face of the whole earth, and they gave up building the city. So why did God do that? There's a boundary, the firmament. It's fixed. There's no way that they're going to break through the firmament. They're still trying to do it today. Okay? God said no, and the devil said yes. He is all about violating boundaries. God does not do gray. God does not do gray. God is very black and white when it comes to His Word and His boundaries that are fixed, and He does not want them violated. What does violation do? It makes it a gray area, where no longer do you have any absolutes. Well, you know, I used to think homosexuality was wrong, but you know, I kind of see their viewpoint, or I have sympathy for that transgender, you know. You know, we can have sympathy for people, but we know what the Word says, and we know what God has said. He's fixed boundaries. Okay, I'm going to stop there for today.